When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. It's the second hour of the show. The second hour is always fantastic because we get to have the news roundup. The news roundup's fun because we look back on all the other shows. I get to see what all the other shows were talking about. It's kind of the way that I gauge our success. I'm listening in on all these other shows. We get these clips and we like to talk about what they're talking about. And oftentimes we get to have some snarky comments, or other times we just get to agree or whatever. I don't know. Maybe it'll inspire some thought in you as well. So let's listen in on some of the other shows and then let's talk about it. But first, before we get to that, every single day at the beginning of the show, we play a trivia clip. It's random. I don't give you much context, only that it is a movie that is either near and dear to my heart or I've seen recently, or I think maybe a lot of people might know. Sometimes they're more obscure. Sometimes people don't actually know the answer to these. You guys can guess on the text line, 888-973-5476, or you can just listen to the show. This is kind of a tease in the radio business. What we're trying to do here is entice you at the beginning of the show to also be listening to the second hour of the show. So here's the clip again, and then I'll give you the answer. Good luck.
Take your army to the haunted forest and bring me that girl and her dog. Do what you like with the others, but I want her alive and unharmed. They'll give you no trouble, I promise you that. I've sent a little insect on ahead to take the fight out. Take special care of those ruby sippers. I want those most of all. Now fly! Fly!
All right. I know you guys probably know the answer to that. That, of course, is the Wizard of Oz. That's the Wicked Witch. She is. Okay, so the reason I picked this scene, just a little behind the scenes here, I'll give you a little insight into my childhood. I am deathly afraid of scary movies. I just don't like them. I can't watch them. I've never seen The Exorcist, and I won't. It's like just one of those things where I just go, nope, 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 not going to happen. I've never seen the movie Nope, actually, coincidentally. I'm not going to watch it. My wife wanted to watch it the other day. I said, no, thank you. It's too scary for me. I've never seen, there's a lot of, like, name a scary movie. I haven't seen it. And if I have watched it, I've watched it, like, through covered eyes. I am a chicken in that way because it lives in my head. And then I think about it late at night. I know there's other people like they're out there just like me. This affects me greatly. I just can't shake it. So, like, late at night, I will lay in bed and I will think about these things. Why would I choose to do that? You've heard the show. I'm upbeat. I'm happy. I'm a happy person. That's what I like to focus on. So I'm like not going to focus on scary things. All the way back to The Wizard of Oz. Now, why is The Wizard of Oz scary? Like, obviously, you don't think it's that scary now. But when you're a kid and you're watching the flying monkeys, which is what that scene is, she's sending those flying monkeys out to go get Dorothy and her friends. That scared the heck out of me when I was a kid. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember how scary that was? So great. Like, so much they did. Those are all practical effects, too. Like, they just did an amazing job on that movie. The visuals, too. Like, as the flying monkeys are flying, it looks like a squadron of airplanes in World War II or something. And I think this movie came out in 1939. That hadn't even happened yet. How crazy is that? Frightening. Just the visuals in this were so effective and so great. They stuck with me for years. In fact, so much so that I was afraid to show this to my kid, even though the movie is almost 100 years old, which is bizarre to think about. But I was afraid to show this to my kids. Like, I don't want to, like, scar these kids. The other night, this last weekend, we were able to drop my kids off at my parents' house. And my wife and I were able to have a night by ourselves. We went out on the town. We, you know, went to dinner and stuff, which is phenomenal. And the kids are finally getting to the age where we can, like, leave them with grandma and grandpa overnight. which is so much fun. Anybody with kids knows like how great that is when you can finally start like handing them off to other people. But anyway, so I'm telling my parents, I'm like, oh, you know what movie we just showed them the other day and they might love is Wizard of Oz. Because at our house when we watched it, they just thought it was hilarious. Like the whole movie, they just thought it was the best. But for me, I was still so scared of the flying monkeys. I was like, oh, wait a minute, hold up, don't do that. Because if they watch the flying monkey scene before they go to bed, then they're going to get scared just like I did as a kid. And then where I'm going to have to come pick my kids up. So I ended up telling them, like, let's just scrap that. Just watch Leo. Watch something else. Don't watch the flying monkeys. Too scary. But anyway, Wizard of Oz. That's what it was. All right. Let's look back on the other shows. Let's talk about what they were talking about. We always start with Seattle's Morning News. We work our way down. They were talking about social media and happiness. This is a topic that I am very, very interested in. We've talked about it many times on the show. Let's hear what Seattle's Morning News had to say about it.
The problem is with social media is that there's no nuance to it. So whereas we don't really get to know our coworkers that well and we think, oh, you're just doing fine. Body language, we can pick up on that.
No doubt.
You can't pick up on body language on social media.
No doubt.
You might be able to hear it in their tone of voice. You can't do that on social media. So that's sort of where the divide
is. How is this new, though? I mean, our family photo album didn't include pictures of the kids crying. It was only the happy stuff when dad was taking his, 16 millimeter movies. We staged, little plays and things that showed everybody having a good time.
But you looked at those photos in the
context.
By
the time I left my birthday party in tears, they didn't put that on tape, right? So you
look at those photos in the context of reality, though. Yeah. Those photos exist within our relationships face-to-face, person-to-person. On social media, there is no reality. There is only what you want people to see.
I can answer that easily. You have Colleen right here. You have Sully right here and Nick right here. You work with them every single day, mm-hmm. right? How many times have they been in your house and looked at your photo albums?
Never.
Yeah. That's what's different. Today, everybody is seeing each other's photo albums. Only mm-hmm. thing is nobody's putting pictures of them baby pictures when you're naked. That used to get me. Everybody's.
Oh, yeah.
Man, why do parents used to put the naked.
Oh, because their buns are so cute. Their little biscuits. Are you kidding?
Why do they do that?
I want to remember the biscuits.
But did my dad really have to show the diaper picture to my girlfriend when
Absolutely.
I was 16?
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
This is a really weird thing, actually, when you think about it. Like, they're totally right. We used to take pictures. They were treasured family albums. I mean, like that question about, if there's a house fire, what's the first thing? You've heard that question. Like, if there's a house fire, what's the first thing that people always tend to grab? Well, it's the things that are irreplaceable, like family photo albums. That is no longer, because people don't even have family photo albums. I have all these family photo albums from when I was a kid, all these pictures of my little baby butt, just like they're talking about. And, those are the only picture in existence. Because back in the day, you actually had to get pictures developed. And now they just sit on a cloud somewhere. I don't even know what I'm going to do with all these pictures. I've got tens of thousands of photos of my family every single day. Here's the bizarre thing that people are going to be able to do in the future. And I don't know how they're going to deal with all this data that they're going to have to keep. And it's expensive. It's a great business. It's like storage units, but for information. Which is, I'm sure that somebody else who's smarter has already thought of that, which is why they make so much money. Getting you to store these photos forever and ever, which you have to. So I have like 50,000, I probably have like, I don't know, 50, 60,000 photos. And that number is just going to like keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger as my family ages. And as taking pictures and snaps of everything is just more ubiquitous, which I do all of the time. Why am I taking pictures of my kids eating breakfast? I don't have any pictures from my childhood of me eating waffles that I made, but for some reason now, anytime I make my kid waffles, like I did today on my son's birthday, I'm like, what do you want, buddy, for breakfast? I want waffles. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to make the waffles. I'm going to put some whipped cream on it, put some strawberries on it. And then I went around with a camera like a weirdo and got a picture of him taking that first bite. And why would I feel the need to take that picture? My parents did not feel the need to take that picture. They understood some pictures are more special than others. Like, yes, maybe a birthday breakfast picture is a special picture. But like, I do this on a regular basis. My kids are sick of it. Every single thing that they see in life is me with it, like me with a camera. Like any event in life is like me with my phone, which then kind of takes me out of the experience of being in the moment. And I know that. And I'm having that conversation in my head as I'm taking my phone out. I'm like, this is actually like taking you out. This is actually putting a wall between you and the experience. Do you guys find the same thing? I don't know how to correct that behavior, and I don't know what to do to correct that behavior. I'm like so afraid of missing these moments. Ironically, I'm missing the moments because I'm taking myself out of the moments. And I find then that like the moments where I forgot my phone or it's not accessible to me for some reason, those are the moments that are actually kind of like in my head. Those are the moments that stand out as unique because I'm not trying to like put everything through a phone and I'm not trying to take pictures and capture everything. I'm having to capture in my brain and somehow that ends up like adding up and the equation to that equals, it's kind of feels more important. Even though I don't have a picture of it, I still have the experience that I live through. It's just interesting. All this, like all of these pictures we're going to have someday. Like, am I just going to hand these to my kids when I die someday and hopefully leave them just a, you know, a ton of whatever I'm leaving them, hopefully money. But if I'm leaving them stuff, is it also going to be codes to my cloud where they can look at pictures of every single day of their life? That's a weird thought. I don't know what we're going to do about that. All right, Gene Ursula, we're talking about offices being converted to apartments. Let's hear about it.
Would you live in one of an office building converted into an apartment in downtown Seattle?
Absolutely not. Not at all. You know, as you start to get older, one of the your most favorite things, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this, I enjoy hanging out with other people, or I enjoy people coming over to my house. Mm-hmm. Those are good things. Ain't no parking downtown. You can't go see Lois downtown because you can't park anywhere. And if you do go park anywhere, because they're so lenient on stealing cars, they might get your car stolen. They break into your stuff. Now, that sounded real bad, didn't it? Yeah, that's my bad.
You bought into it. Okay.
Could you, Ursula?
One of the things that I would be very attractive to me is that everything would be walkable. Mm-hmm. And as I get older, I think I would like to do less with my car and more with, hey, this is convenient. I'll walk here. I'll walk there. I can take advantage of the arts. I can go to a show at Paramount Theater. I can do, and it's all walking distance. Also, the views would be unbeatable. The caveat would be that I would have to have parking available for sure. But you know what happens as you get older and older? I'm a social person too, and I liked having people over, and I like going to visit friends. Mm-hmm. But as you get older and older, you know, your friend group kind of thins out a little bit too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know
so
what?
I would be looking for more convenience and the ability to go out and meet new people.
I think the idea of living in converted office space is interesting. I like converted spaces into apartments. My wife and I, before we ended up buying our house up north in Snohomish County, we looked at a lot of real estate. And one of the places we looked at, and this is years ago now, and it's like it's well lived in now and it's filled up. But they had converted in, I'm trying to think where this was. It was over in Queen Anne, I think. They had converted an old school into these really, really cool, nice apartments. This is like 10 years ago, into these really nice apartments. And my wife and I went and looked at them, and I don't really think we probably could have afforded them at the time, but it would have been a great investment because that area obviously just gets more and more expensive day by day. And you see these really cool livable spaces that used to be classrooms, used to be like faculty lounges, and now it's a breakfast nook. And it is a loft bedroom, all these cool spaces. And like, if that's what you want in the city, which is kind of what I would want if I lived in the city again, I'm not a city dweller. I don't like to live in big cities. I like to see the sky. I like to see the stars. I like to know all my neighbors. I like my kids to have a yard and be able to go run around and play in the woods. I like that we can build them a treehouse in our backyard. You can't do that if you live in the city. There's a lot of other benefits to living in the city, though, which I totally understand. Ursula's right. The walkability is fun. I like all that stuff. But I think of it more as like, that's a phase of life that I'm past right now. Maybe I'll like grow into it again at some point. Like maybe when I'm older, I'll want to live in the city again. I can't imagine why I'd want to do that, but maybe I go crazy and I want to live in the city again. But I could totally see living in one of these apartments / converted office spaces. I actually also saw this story out of New York. There was a parking garage, like an old parking garage that was built in the early 1900s. Brick, exposed beams, wood, all that kind of stuff. Really, really beautiful. But it was just this old dumpy parking garage, which probably would have been filled with rats and just like run down cars at certain points. What they did was they cleared it out, they gutted it, and now they're making it into these really beautiful, expensive, like really expensive condos. And people are willing to pay a ton of money, especially in a city like New York, because it has this historical significance. just like in Seattle and Queen Anne, I think it was called Queen Anne School, actually, because it has this history to it, people will pay a pretty penny for that. Now, will these office buildings demand that same amount of money? I don't know, but I know that like apartment space is really valuable because people want to be able to find a good place to live. And so, you know, and also if these offices are no longer being filled because people are moving their businesses out of the city, they got to fill them with something. So I guess it makes sense. All right, let's move on. Jack and Spike. This happened yesterday on the air. Jack was actually telling me about this today. And he said, oh, did you see that clip of me having a heart attack? I said, what? And he was talking about how it wasn't actually a heart attack. He was having these weird heart palpitations. I'll play you a little bit of the clip and then I'll tell you what Jack explained to me.
Statements. She's never going back to Republican politics. Spike, there's no place home.
Can you take over for me for a couple minutes?
Sure, you bet.
I'll be right back.
You're okay, buddy. So Ron and
all right, so, you know, they're both pros. Spike moves on. He, like, does a story and just, like, you know, they kind of seamlessly do it. What you're not seeing there is, and this is a video that they sent me. They go, you got to check this out. There's a you can see the look of concern on Jack's face because he's clearly having some sort of a palpitation issue. And so he tells me, I'm at my desk today, and he goes, hey, did you see my, like, heart episode on the air yesterday? I said, no, my gosh, what happened? And basically what he explained to me was he was having these heart palpitations. He leaves the show. It's about 2 p.m., so he's still got about an hour left in his show. He leaves the show. He gets his backpack. He thinks he's going to go to the emergency room. He goes and he talks to our boss, and he goes, hey, big boss man, I'm having these heart palpitations. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I think I may need to go to the emergency room. As it turns out, he was just having these palpitations, which can happen from time to time. I guess he's had these before, and so it ended up calming down. I think he just needed to get to a calmer space. Thankfully, he's fine. He's doing great. I was on their show today talking about stuff. So he's fine. But man, that can be scary. I've had something like that similar where you just like, you're aware of your heartbeat. Have you guys ever had that where you're just like aware of your beating heart? And especially as you get older, you're just like, oh man, what's going on here? So thankfully, he's okay. So if anybody was scared for Jack, didn't catch their show today, he's fine and he's doing well. All right. John and Sherry, they were talking about trendy Trader Joe's bags. What is this? All right, let's hear about this real fast.
I wish I was in a suitcase right now. I don't know what's going on.
They are waiting for them, the Trader Joe's people, to bring out the cart or the carrier or whatever with all the tote bags, and then they're going to go for them.
And people are paying $500 for these things?
Some have been selling up to $500. I saw them the other day at a Trader Joe's. They're really cute. I mean, there's a little tote bag and they've got Trader Joe's on it and everything. But I don't know why people just don't go to Trader Joe's. I guess they're selling out and that's why they can't get them. But they say eBay, one of them sold up to $500. And it's the new Stanley, you know, the Stanley cups. So when Target had Stanley cups for sale for Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day theme, people rushed and rushed and rushed to get that particular version. So it might very well be that they're getting like a green one and a blue one and a white one and, you know, a large variety of them. They're collecting them.
Uh-huh. Here's what people have done on eBay. You get the product, you put it up, then you have a bunch of friends bid on it and bid it up to $500, okay? Then the person gives the person who won it in the auction the $500 to pay them.
So I guess what he's just, are people doing this or just like starting these artificially inflated trends for something like a Trader Joe's bag? I always wonder how these things happen. Like, how does somebody decide? It's like what makes a viral video. Nobody knows what makes a viral video. It just kind of happens. How does somebody decide, oh, that's a nice Trader Joe's bag, which you can normally buy for a couple bucks? Yeah, you know what I'd be willing to do? I'd pay $500 for it. That is crazy to me. I don't know who would pay $500 for these things. But obviously, there's a market out there. Somebody's willing to pay for it. All right, we got a lot more coming up, including next, that Baltimore cargo ship, which smashed into that bridge, collapsed the entire bridge. I've never been to Baltimore, so I want to reach out to somebody who's actually been to Baltimore. There was a host on this very radio station who used to live in Baltimore and now hosts a show from noon to three. His name is Spike O'Neill. He's going to join me next. He's going to talk about that bridge, tell me a little bit about it. We're going to have that when we come back here on Cairo Nights.
Yeah. Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events. School family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. All right, I want to talk about this bridge collapse over in Baltimore. I'm sure that you guys have all heard about this by now, but I don't know if you have heard from somebody actually from Baltimore who can tell us about this bridge. And if you haven't seen the picture of this yet, go and check it out. Look up Baltimore Bridge Collapse. It's just, it's kind of one of those things that you really can't believe it until you see it. It looks like something out of a movie. It's so crazy. It's bizarre to look at. There was a massive cargo ship that lost power and accidentally, because it couldn't turn, ran into this huge bridge expanse in Baltimore. And it wasn't just like a small bridge. Like, do you guys remember that bridge that collapsed a little north of here? I believe it was up in Mount Vernon. You remember that expansive road? They had that thing back up and fixed in, you know, 6-8 months. This is way, 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 way bigger. So what this is going to mean for our economy in the United States, we're going to get into that. One of those stories that just never happens. But somehow, this happened. I woke up to this news this morning, and I thought, oh my gosh, Baltimore. I know somebody from Baltimore. I'm going to ask them about that. See if they've ever driven across this bridge. Who do I know from Baltimore? Well, of course, Spike O'Neill from the Jack and Spike Show, former host of Cairo Nights. Welcome back to the show.
One of the we have the jackets now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cairo Night jackets are nice.
They all look great. All these beautiful green jackets, just beautiful. Like the Masters.
Beautiful.
All right, so you are from Baltimore.
I am.
There is a giant cargo ship that smashed into a bridge in Baltimore.
Imagine that one of the two floating bridges in Seattle is taken out.
Wow.
That's how this impacts Baltimore's economy, daily traffic, daily commutes. You know, Baltimore has a circle around it that's a beltway, 695, the Baltimore Beltway.
Yeah.
Imagine it's a closed, like a clock. And it connects the north of the city to the south of the city. The business end of Seattle's like, of Baltimore, I should say, is just like Seattle. It's a working port. This ship loaded up with cargo, 100,000 tons of cargo, was leaving its port and heading out to the shipping channels. It was moving at 8 knots, which is standard business. It had 2 extra pilots, which is law, maritime law, when you're leaving with a full cargo ship through the harbor.
Just to prevent something like this,
to make sure things are handled as safely as possible. There's video that you can see. It's everywhere. They lost power. As you watch this video, they lose power and power comes back on. Then you see power go out again. This is a matter of over maybe a minute and a half. Then the power goes out a second time, and that's when the ship, unable to steer, unable to stop, slams into one of the main supports of the bridge, and it goes down like a Hollywood movie. I mean, that bridge is just gone.
The pictures, for anybody who hasn't seen these yet, just go online and just look up Baltimore Bridge, and you will see all these pictures. This ship is massive.
Yeah, 100,000 tons of cargo.
100,000 tons, stacked to the heavens, just super tall.
Right.
That bridge, is it a lifting bridge?
No, it's not.
They were supposed to turn, but they couldn't because they lost power?
They were aiming toward the tallest span. They know exactly what goes through there. I mean, so much cargo goes there on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the ship lost power, the first thing mechanically that happens by mechanical design, is the anchor drops. But at 8 knots and 100,000 tons of cargo, the anchor just skims along the bottom.
Wow.
It's not stopping. A miracle, I hate to call it that because at this time I think there's still people missing. You can see traffic across the bridge in the early videos, like a good bit of traffic. This is 1:30 in the morning.
So scary.
Cars and trucks going by. When the ship lost power, they sent out a mayday, which allowed the Maryland State Patrol to start to stop the flow of traffic toward the bridge. And I know there was
that saved so many lives.
A few cars went into the water. From what I've heard, all people have been recovered from there. But that everything that they – it was a catastrophic failure of all things considered. But the State Patrol were able to stop the flow of traffic. Of the 6 people that were missing in first reports, 6 of an 8-man crew working to fill potholes on the bridge. Mm. That's who went into the water and hadn't been recovered yet. Yeah. And
just guys out there doing their jobs.
Doing their jobs. And, you know, it's gonna be years before this major commute is back up. You know, I say the city's like a clock. Imagine that between – 3 and 4 o'clock now of that circle is gone for traffic. There's a tunnel that goes under the harbor that was built in the 50s. And then the growth of this bridge was built in the 70s. It's been there for almost 50 years and now it's gone.
Do you know what it looks a lot like? If anybody's seen or driven down to Astoria, have you ever been down to Astoria?
Yeah.
You know how the bridge starts climbing and it gets really, really steep because they do have some of those
massive cargo ships that come through just like this.
And it looks like about the same era. It looks like it was built around the same time.
Yeah, pretty similar.
You're just looking at these pictures. When I saw these pictures, I just could not believe my eyes. This thing fell down. So you think it's going to be many years before they're able to close this gap?
It's not like what happened up in I-5 where they were able to put that span back together relatively quickly.
Yeah.
I think within like 6-8 months, they had traffic flow back up to normal. You got to build a whole new
bridge. That was a busy area up there, I think in Mount Vernon area.
Yeah.
But this is a much heavier trafficked area, you're saying?
12 million cars a year cross that bridge.
Oh, my gosh.
30,000 a day, 1,000 a month, 1 million a month. Yeah.
Did it remind you of all of, like, you know, you hear the story of Titanic?
That's what I thought
because, like, when people see Titanic.
Oh, when it couldn't turn?
It couldn't turn in time to avoid the iceberg.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, how is it possible they couldn't turn in time? And you're just like, well, a ship that size, it weighs that much. With the rudders that they have, especially with when you have no power.
You can't stop. You can't steer. You are adrift. And, you know, that's what they sent out a mayday, which slowed the flow of traffic on the bridge miraculously there.
Yeah.
But when that thing and it hit, I mean, you couldn't have, you a pro bowler couldn't have sent that thing down the alley better.
No.
To hit that one span and it just dropped.
Isn't it amazing when things like this happen? You just go like, how is it possible that a ship that size, so many things had to go wrong,
for this to happen. And the impact on the economy, you'll feel it here. That's a major port, Baltimore, one of the major ports on the East Coast. And when you're building a bridge for 2 years, shipping's impacted through there.
Oh, my goodness.
Freight moving out of Baltimore's harbor, Chesapeake Bay, that's impacted for the next couple. You'll feel it here.
Yeah. What a crazy story. Well, we'll keep up to date and we'll check in with you again.
Thanks, brother. Good seeing you, man.
All right. That was Spike O'Neill. You can hear him daily on the Jack and Spike Show from noon to 3 here on Cairo Radio. Just a really bizarre story. We're going to keep following this. Obviously, it's going to keep developing. You know, I actually found this article that I was reading earlier in Bloomberg, which kind of gave a little bit of a good description of how massively this is going to affect the local economy there in on the East Coast, and not just locally, in the entire United States. Listen to this. The vessel that smacked into the bridge, that knocked over the bridge, is called the Dolly. It is a it flies under the flag of Singapore. It's a 32,000-ton ship built in 2015. It was carrying around 4,900 containers at the time that it hit the beam. That specific port in Baltimore, the bridge, allows commercial ships to enter that port. It is one of the top ports in the U.S. in terms of volume and value of cargoes. It is the largest U.S. port for handling cars and lightweight trucks. There are 21 ships are in the waters to the west of the collapsed bridge. Half of them are tugs. There are also at least three bulk carriers, one vehicle carrier, and a small tanker. The Baltimore port handled 847,158 autos and light trucks in 2023, the most of any U.S. port for the 13th straight year. It is just a massively important port. So how are they going to get out of this situation? How are they going to get this thing back up and running? Time will have to tell. Just like Spike was saying, the entire country is going to be affected by this. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to talk to Heather Bosch next about Easter. Big deal in my family. My kids are massive fans of Easter, as am I, because we're a religious household. So we celebrate Easter every single year. My kids, though, are excited about the chocolate and the bunnies. And so is that going to cost a lot? Heather's got some info on that. We're going to talk about that next when we get back here on Cairo Nights.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently, so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. As you all know, we have a very special holiday coming up. We have Easter coming up. My kids could not be more excited about this holiday. We do a big Easter egg hunt with some family every year. It is a blast. And, you know, we are a religious household, so it means a lot to our family. Heather Bosch was looking into this, and she was looking into the costs of Easter.
Yes.
What can we expect this year?
Well, Jake, an estimated 81% of us plan to celebrate Easter, and many will be opening their wallets to do so. So I checked with Mark Hamrick with Bankrate, and he tells me
the National Retail Federation looks for less Easter spending this year compared to last, but last year was a record.
Americans spent $24 billion last year, but we're still expected to spend about $22.4 billion this year. That's about $177 per person. Now I check the prices of some popular items like eggs.
Egg prices are down almost one-fifth from a year ago, to be precise, 17%. That might be a welcome surprise.
Prices are ticking up a little due to a resurgence of bird flu, but well down from the peak prices in January of 2023 when bird flu was depleting flocks. In the greater Seattle area, you'll pay anywhere from $3 to nearly $8 a dozen, depending on which store and type of eggs you buy. Chocolate, another favorite. Unfortunately, because of severe weather in West Africa, cocoa bean prices have increased more than 150% over the past 12 months. It's unclear if that's affecting prices around here, but I did find that you can pay anywhere from $19 for a high-quality Franz chocolate bunny to a $1.50 for Cadbury cream egg. Looking at other prices, a small bag of jelly beans will run you $2 to $2.50. Marshmallow Peeps, less than $2. Looking to purchase an Easter bonnet? I confess, I could not find a bonnet to break down. But if you're putting on the spit and polish,
the price of clothing for men is up slightly, 3.1% compared to a year ago. But for women, it is down.
Finally, if you're putting the family in the car for a holiday drive, you're paying on average about a dime more compared to last year. You win some, you lose some. Jake.
You know what's interesting about this? You just mentioned Peeps a second ago, the candy.
What do you think about Peeps? People love them or hate them, I find.
I completely forget that they exist until Easter rolls around. And I think they've tried to figure out how to like make them more relevant for other holidays.
Different flavors.
I've seen like green Christmas tree Peeps around the holidays.
Yeah.
But they really have taken hold with Easter, and people really love them. They're the kind of thing that we buy. We always put them in the Easter baskets for the kids. And I don't really even know if the kids love them that much. Do you like eating them?
You know,
did your kids love them?
The Easter bunny at our house 1 year did not get the Peeps, and I got nothing but trouble for my oldest.
Lost their minds.
He wanted those Peeps, man. You have to do the Peeps. Do you ever do the thing where this sounds terrible? You blow the Peeps up in the microwave?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. No, they're really. It's like it's kind of disturbing.
But it's kind of fun too. So.
It is fun. And the kids, I think, it might scare them a little bit. And maybe that's okay. It's kind of weird. But you can definitely do that. Do you have any Easter traditions that you did with your family growing up? Because your kids are older now. Are they in their 18, 19, 20s?
Oh, slightly older. They're still very young men.
Yeah.
But yeah, we always get up
early. But you're not hiding the Easter egg baskets anymore for your kids.
No, no, no. And you know, I always worked the early shift for so long that I would manage to stagger out of bed and you know, do the Easter bunny, put out the baskets and whatnot. But I never hid the eggs. And 1 year, again, it was my oldest who was very frustrated. He sat down and grabbed some crayons and he drew a picture of a bunny and he drew an arrow to the fridge where the eggs were, trying to get the bunny to find the eggs and hide them. And I just couldn't do it.
For my kids, we started doing this, and I go overboard on this kind of stuff. And my wife's like, this is going to get very tedious if this is something you're going to do every year. But I started, the kids come, and I think I guess my parents probably did this. I have some recollection that we had these in our house growing up. And so I just like assume that you have to have these, but like we would cut out bunny feet. Like you cut out like paper bunny feet and you can then like spread them throughout the house so that when the kids get up in the morning,
to see where the bunny went.
They follow the bunny feet to the Easter egg baskets. And it's the kind of thing that, like, you can only do for so many years before the kids are like, oh, I wonder why there's, like, paper bunny feet in the house.
It loses its charm.
Yeah, like, when they're 4 years old and they're 5 years old, they still go like, oh, my gosh, look it, there was a bunny here. They're like, they're not putting together, like, why would the bunny's footprints turn into paper and why would they be on our hardwood floors? It just doesn't make any sense. But those are also the kinds of things that, even though they're time consuming and you do those, like, and they're always something I don't even think of until 11:30 on a Saturday night, and Easter's right. The next morning, and I'm like feverishly cutting out bunny feet at like midnight, which is not, I don't know, it's not very, it's, it doesn't like paint a great Easter picture. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm watching reruns of Breaking Bad, and I'm cutting out Easter bunny feet, like watching
a
show about meth.
That's disturbing, my friend Jake.
Yeah, I think so. But it's also the kind of thing, like, the next morning your kids are walking through the house and it's so cute. Time goes so quickly.
Oh, it does.
With these kids.
Trust
and so,
me,
like,
you blink. And
that's
it's,
what it feels like.
Yeah. Now, are your older ones kind of catching on?
Yeah, they are.
But what I found was kind of cute, at least in our family, we had five kids growing up. The older kids were kind of like, would love to see the younger kids
so
get
they,
excited.
They kept the story
and
alive
kind
for them.
Of participated. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That I'm worried
cool.
about that because my oldest, I don't know that he has that caring gene in his body. He likes to spoil things for his younger brothers. I think he gets like, you know, he's one of those older brothers. So he will happily blurt out, you know, like, say, you know, I don't even want to say it. He will blurt out things that I don't want him to blurt
now,
out.
He's the one who needs to sit next to you with the scissors and help cut out bunny feet. Get him invested.
That's
in
a good
this.
Idea.
Get him invested.
See, that's just good parenting right
Absolutely.
There. That's good parenting. Bring the kids along. Walk alongside with them. All right. I'm going to try that this year. That's Heather Bosch, Cairo News Radio. Thank you so much for bringing this in.
Anytime.
All right. We got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.